We are with Dr. Patty Thigpen, and you are a doctor of audiology, but for folks listening, they may not know exactly what that is.
Well, a doctor of audiology is a healthcare provider. We evaluate and diagnose and treat and manage hearing loss and tinnitus in children and adults. It requires a board certification that helps to prevent and treat hearing loss with a scientific approach that works. And in addition, there's routine undergraduate studies and then 8 years of degree after that with an internship. And then there's routine continuing education every year.
How did you get involved in audiology? I mean, you know, you hear some people say, guys especially, you know, hey, I love cars, so I started my own car shop. But what about you in audiology?
Well, I started working as a speech therapist for about 7 years in Cannon County and in Rutherford County. And then there's about 29 years in audiology. I first developed my interest in this field while I was at MTSU. I think one of the teachers there really inspired me more to pursue audiologist. I think he saw something in me I didn't see myself. So when I graduated, I worked in the area of speech therapy within the school system. I knew that I needed to go back and specialize, so I specialized in hearing in audiology, and I've worked primarily here in Middle Tennessee most of those years.
Something your office does, and I know there's a lot of good folks here in Rutherford County, but something your office tries to focus on is volunteering and helping others.
We do see a need. We want to give back to the community. One of the reasons that I started the office in the beginning was to promote the community. We have been in business almost 10 years, and our office now has a staff of 9 with 3 doctors of audiology and 1 audiology assistant. But we do routinely enjoy funding and volunteering in area organizations to uplift the community. Part of our mission statement is uplifting the community by improving communication one patient at a time. So our staff loves to adopt a family at Christmas, collect shoes for orphan souls, have a food bank drive with our patients for Greenhouse. We support special kids, high school teams, Discovery Center, St. Clair Center, Adams Place, and more.
I guess the average person probably doesn't fully understand how big of an impact ears and being able to hear properly can have on their life, all aspects of their life, right?
That's right. Having hearing loss can result in depression, isolation, family connections and relationships. It even results in lower economic status in the society through job work.
Is that one reason why you and your staff like to give back to the community and to make sure the community's, I guess, hearing health is good?
Yes, we all have a passion for helping the needy. One of the events that we enjoy pursuing is something coming up. We have something we call Christmas Here for the Holidays event. It's going to start on November 13th. We're going to try and promote it in most every way we can throughout the community. This is a community involvement event where we ask for nominations to be received in a form of a letter or an email. It can be dropped off by our office of 500 words or less, describing someone that you know or yourself who is in need of a hearing aid. And in that nomination, you would say why they need the hearing aid and what difference it would make in their life. And we have a panel of judges who will review all those letters, and one winner will be chosen. We'll have that person come in, do a hearing test to make sure they qualify with hearing loss, and then we'll fit them with a free set of top-of-the-line hearing aids with all free follow-up care for at least the next 3 years, with 3 years of batteries, 3 years of programming, appointments, warranty, loss and damage insurance, everything that they would need, we want to provide.
I'm just curious, let's say the person who is the handpicked person by the board, and what if it turns out their ears are just stopped up when they get here? What do you do in those situations?
Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have? Because we could address that immediately by removing the wax. We test if hearing is normal. That solves the problem, and we go to our second place winner and call them and bring them in.
So in that situation, you're able to help two people instead of one?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
We are in your office right now, and this is, I guess, the first stop for a lot of people.
That's right. When you come through the door, I typically like to bring you back here. This is the room where we'll sit and I'll get information to get an interview to determine more about your hearing health, your history, and even your medical history, because your hearing and your health are directly related. So I want to know more about your family health, your health, what medications you're on, to see if there's any correlation or connection with hearing.
Sometimes with hearing problems, is it a simple fix like just changing medication types?
There are easy fixes. That's why it's good to always come in and have a hearing test if you're concerned about hearing loss. Sometimes it's as simple as having a cotton ball stuck in your ear after using a Q-tip that you should not use to clean your ears. And we can remove that here in the office easily. It might even be earwax that's in your ear or touching the eardrum causing hearing loss.
I have heard people talk about how high blood pressure can affect hearing, and so can diabetes. Is there truth to that?
Absolutely. The ear is a very vascular organ. It's affected by many things, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea, smoking. So we want to look at your health to see what the connection and correlation would be there.
Sleep apnea can affect the ears?
Yes, also because of the oxygen levels that are communicating with the brain and the blood flow, it can even have an impact on hearing.
If somebody comes into you as a new patient and they say, you know, I work in a very loud factory, I wear earplugs, but yet I'm still going home with earaches and unable to properly hear when I get home. What do you say?
Of course, we want to start with a good history, and then we'll go in the sound booth and I will say, let's see what's going on. So through the process of the evaluation, we'll be able to determine if there is hearing loss, and if so, where is it coming from, so we best know how to treat it.
We are with Patty Thigpen, and we're taking a tour of your facility. The room we're in right now, it's probably going to sound a little different on audio because it's totally silent in here. What is this room?
This is called the sound booth. It's a sound-treated sound room where we bring patients to test, and we can test children and infants from newborn on up to adults in here. So it keeps out the environmental ambient noise where we can get a good scientific hearing test.
Is it just me, but my ears feel weird in here? It's like something I've never felt before.
Yes. The vibration of sound is reduced tremendously. So if I clap my hands, you can hear that the sound just stops. There's not that vibration that continues after a sound. So this is what the chambers of the walls help to do, to reduce the noise.
So this would be, I guess, the ideal place to do ear testing for sure.
For sure. It's the perfect place to do hearing testing, and really the only place to do hearing testing.
So we just walked out of this weird room here.
The sound booth?
I was expecting some scientific term for it or something.
There is an anechoic chamber that is often used in research facilities, and that is completely the only sound booth that stops sound from vibrating and where they can do research with hearing. But most facilities will have a sound-treated room called a sound booth.
If somebody comes to you and they've got some hearing issues, what are some of the problems that could have led up to those hearing issues over the years?
Family history of hearing loss, loud noise exposure, aging, recurrent ear infections in childhood can lead to hearing loss, and even health disorders like diabetes, elevated blood pressure, smoking, heart disease, increased numbers of hospitalizations, all can result in hearing loss. Did you know that in diabetics, with diabetes, hearing loss is twice as common?
Is that something that diabetics are told by their primary care doctor, or is that something they usually find out on their own by accident?
You know, I'm hoping that they find that out through their primary care or through their specialist. But even pre-diabetic patients have a 30% chance of having hearing loss as opposed to the general population.
Now, something else you mentioned a little while ago, and I know we didn't really elaborate on it, but medicines can also have an impact on hearing, right?
That's right. When we're getting your health information, I also look at your medications to see, is there any type of a drug or medication that could have an ototoxic effect on the ears? Or are there medications that when taken together could have a synergistic effect? Maybe they don't cause hearing loss by themselves, but when you put them together with another drug, they could cause hearing loss or ringing in the ears.
If someone does come to you and it turns out they are on one of or two or three medications that are known to cause hearing problems, mm-hmm. is it reversible?
Sometimes it can be. So I can review the medication list and their symptoms they're having and suggest that because of what I'm seeing here, let's go back to your primary care doctor. Let's go to your pharmacist and talk about these medications to see if they can see that there is a known reaction to their hearing.
Our population is huge, but we also have a very large and increasing aging population, which means more cases of dementia, more cases of Alzheimer's. But dementia, you were saying before we started recording, dementia patients sometimes have hearing problems.
Yes, they do. It's very common. In fact, there's evidence that there is a relationship between dementia and untreated hearing loss. That is, hearing loss that's not treated with hearing aids can result in forms of cognitive decline. Those who have mild hearing loss and they're not treating it are twice as likely to develop dementia later on. And those who have moderate degree hearing loss, which is more than that, are three times as likely to develop dementia. And those with severe hearing loss who go untreated with hearing aids are five times as likely to develop dementia.
You know, hearing is something that is so interesting to me. And one of the things that I guess I can try to relate to hearing problems with, after you take a long flight somewhere, sometimes when you get off the plane, your ears are a little stopped up. For me, that is one of the most miserable feelings. So I cannot imagine not being able to properly hear.
It is hard to imagine, and we see it daily. In fact, I think one of the most wonderful things about my job is the ability to give that immediate gratification of improved hearing when someone comes in. In fact, I have the effect on people that they can cry with joy when they see me at least once a week, because we're able to restore a lot of the hearing that they've been missing out on and they didn't even know they were missing it.
Right now we're looking at some kind of computer here. I don't know what this is. What is this?
Yes, this is an instrument that we use for measurement of the middle ear system of the ear. We love this because it provides an objective measurement and tells us more about the eardrum, the bones behind the eardrum, and even the eustachian tube that runs to the back of the nose and throat. This is very helpful in diagnosing hearing loss and hearing problems to determine where is the hearing loss coming from, what's the status of the middle ear, so we'll know whether to refer for medical evaluation and how best to treat.
We're talking with Dr. Patty Thigpen, and this device, do you put it in somebody's ear?
Exactly. And I'll be glad to demonstrate it on you in a few minutes if you want. But I'll put this rubber tip up to your ear where you'll hear a tone. And it's a very specialized tone. And it makes a sound that actually bounces off the eardrum, a little bit like a sonar reading.
All right, so we're going to try this out. You're putting a rubber tip on the end of it.
Right.
Okay.
This is a probe that I'm just going to sit up on your ear. We're going to put it in your left ear, and I'm going to obtain a seal within the ear, and I'll turn the computer on, and you're going to feel a little change in pressure. Did you feel that?
I did.
And that shows me that your eardrum is functioning normally. It looks like the three little bones behind the eardrum are also functioning normally, and that eustachian tube is equalizing pressure as it should back and forth. So wonderful. You have a normal ear reading.
So I should survive. On that computer screen there, it was just showing you like a wave file of sorts.
Yes. Do you see this graph, how it goes up and down? That's good movement. And it's over the zero here. So we're looking at normal eardrum movement with normal middle ear pressure. If that movement is too high, it can indicate one thing. If it's too low, it can indicate another. If it's shifted to the left or to the right, that also has indications. Or if it's just flat, that shows something else.
Okay, so for this other instrument here, you can actually use that on infants.
That's right. This is called distortion product otoacoustic emissions. And a form of this can also be used in the hospital when you're doing newborn screenings. But we have a diagnostic instrument. So we use this in various purposes. But one of the purposes is for screening newborns. And once again, I'll take a little rubber probe and I'll put it up to the ear of an infant. It makes tones that sound like chords on a piano. As the patient is listening to the sound, I'm looking at numerical numbers and graphs and comparing it to normative data for that age to see an estimate of hearing for that patient. I'm looking at an evaluation of the inner ear. So where the tympanometry was looking at the middle ear, now with the otoacoustic emissions, I can look at the inner ear. So I'm looking at any type of permanent hearing loss that would affect the cochlea and the hearing nerve.
Now, everything that you've showed us, it's not painful whatsoever. The small tube that you put into the ear to actually get the feedback, I guess, it's extremely small.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing to it.
That's right. That's a great thing about my job. I don't do anything that hurts.
That is good, because I know some people, they're always a little scared sometimes to go to the doctor, not knowing what to expect.
That's one of the things that we've really concentrated on in our office is that when patients come in, we have a family atmosphere. It's also a faith-based atmosphere, but we try and make everyone comfortable in their presence here and to show them there's nothing here that should hurt or alarm them. We just walk them through the whole process one step at a time.
Something I've heard people talk about, and I remember there used to be commercials on TV and on the radio about it, and I've heard it pronounced different ways, and it's all about ringing in the ear.
That's right. It's called tinnitus or tinnitus. You can say it either way. Both are correct. So tinnitus is a noise in the ear or in the head. Sometimes tinnitus is normal, and sometimes it's not. The most common cause of tinnitus is loud noise exposure. It's also common when in combination with hearing loss. Millions of people have it. Some cope with it more effectively than others, and some really struggle because it's so annoying. But there's definitely ways of treating it and to give hope to those who have it. Sometimes tinnitus can be related to things such as earwax on the eardrum or a problem with the three bones behind the eardrum or even eustachian tube dysfunction. So tinnitus is a symptom of a problem. So we want to find out what is that symptom and try and treat that. If we're still not able to resolve the tinnitus, then there are methods that work that we use routinely in our office to help reduce the impact of tinnitus.
It sounds like it's probably a fairly easy problem to fix usually, right?
Actually, tinnitus can be a very problematic area for a lot of people that doesn't go away. It can be a warning sign of something like high blood pressure or wax, and you can treat that. But the most common cause of tinnitus is hearing loss. They can go hand in hand. So if you have hearing loss, it's working, and you have tinnitus, it's working with trying to manage the tinnitus.
So is there anything else that you would highlight, I guess, for somebody out there listening who maybe they thought about coming to an audiologist, but they've never actually done it?
Well, hearing loss is pretty common. You know, millions of people have hearing loss, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, it's more noticeable to have hearing loss than to have treatment for hearing loss, such as a hearing aid. I would love for more people to actually take that first step to come in to see how painless an evaluation can be and what all the treatment options are available to help with hearing loss.
How do we find you, and do we need to set up an appointment first if we want to come in?
Sure, you can find us on the web by Googling Thigpen Hearing Center. You can go to our website. It's pattythigpenhearingcenter.com. You can call our office, 615-494-4344. You can email us through our website. You can walk in the front door. We'd be glad to see you.